Boy, have we got a deal for our audience today. I'm so excited, and I've got to sit here and listen instead of talk, which is hard for me to do. George Hallford, Local Matters. This show, we talk about the who. We talk about what is it that makes our community, the fabric of our community. There's people that everybody knows, and then there's people that they don't know, and then there's people they think they know. So we've got a guy here who I met years ago, and all I can say is wow, and you're going to be saying the same thing if you don't know. Doc Stone, professor of guitar at Tennessee Tech, member of the Grand Ole Opry. I'm stealing your show now, but I
wasn't a member, but I played.
You've worked.
I did about 1,600 Opry spots.
Okay, now that's a good segue. So let's start. I told you, we're going to start at birth. Like Billy Graham said, who are you? Where'd you come from growing up? Don't spend a lot of time in high school, but carry me on through and talk about your passions, your friends, what got you in this field. And it's yours, buddy.
Well, I come from a little town in Indiana.
Okay.
New Salisbury. And I fell in love with the guitar because my grandfather, he pastored a Pentecostal church.
Okay.
If you've ever been in a Holy Roller church back then, they got guitars all around the walls.
They do.
And I fell in love with it at an early age, started playing at 10 years old. When I was 12, I won a Coca-Cola talent contest out of a radio station in Louisville, Kentucky. Then the next year I won it with my band, and then we were picked in the top six out of the state. I learned to read music because my little high school needed a tuba player. So they said, well, you don't.
You became the tuba player.
I became the tuba player, and that brought me to Tennessee. That brought me to Western Kentucky. That's why I have the red shirt on. I'm a hilltopper.
Hey, we're all in the same region.
And I got a scholarship there, and I think they wanted my guitar work. I played in a group called Gemini 15, which was an all-girl band that did USO tours.
Wow.
And then my good friend, Dr. David Livingston, he's my mentor. Mm-hmm. Anything I know about music, I learned from him. Then I was on a TV show called The Jim Kearse Show, a TV show out of Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Okay.
And a guest came up named Jake Hess. Okay. And Jake Hess sang many years with the Statesman Quartet, had his own group. In fact, he was Elvis Presley's idol. when Elvis got off the train in Frankfurt, Germany, they stuck a mic in front of his face and said, what singers influenced you the most? And he said, Jake Hess.
Wow. Wow, that's a nugget. That's a gem, yeah.
Well, I didn't know that about him. He just said, if they ever run you off up here, let me know. So that's how I got to Nashville. And I worked for him.
When did you get to Nashville? What year, roughly?
Oh, it had to be probably 73, 74.
Oh, man. Okay, great. Okay.
I worked with him. Then I worked with Dale Reeves. Country singer that had a girl on the billboard.
Sure.
Then in that period of time, I began to start doing some recording session work. I did some on bass guitar. I remember working for Tree International. We did a whole bunch of demos for them. I worked in the little RCA studio. They call it, some of them call it Little Victor, but it's a museum now. I rehearsed there. I did a whole bunch of stuff with Roy Dresky. You may remember him. Mm-hmm. And then with the Four Guys, they had a dinner theater on Murfreesboro Road, and we would do shows there, go to the Opry and do a show there and go to the Opry. We would do it like we would do three shows and three Opry spots on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then sometimes we'd be off Monday. Sometimes we wouldn't. And then along with that, they would get hired, which meant I got hired to go to Vegas and Reno and play for Jimmy Dean.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Jimmy Dean sausage later
big,
on.
Big John.
Big John.
And
there you
then,
go.
And then I was at that for a while. I was an artist for, let me see if I can get this right. I was an artist for Rickenbacker Guitars first. They never did anything for
Rickenbacker.
Me.
Rickenbacker, okay.
And then I was an artist for Aria Pro 2, mm-hmm. and they gave me three or four guitars, so I didn't like them. I was going to give them back and went to give them back, and they said, no, you just keep them. So then I got with Peavy.
Peavy Electronics.
Yeah, Phil Ball, who was Jimmy Dean's regular guitar player. He's the guy that plays the very first lick that you hear on He Stopped Loving Her Today. And it sounds like a steel guitar, but it's not. It's a PVT-60 that he had this device hooked to the tailpiece that he'd operate the pedals like a steel guitar player. So when you hear that first, you think it's a steel lick. That's Phil Ball. Phil helped get me with Peavy guitars, and I was with Peavy for a year. Before that happened, I played a Telecaster. Guitar players out there know what that is. I played a Telecaster that I had some devices built in. The late Paul Yandel did that for me. And they saw me on the Opry spot, and I came off the spot, and I really didn't like a Telecaster at all. It hurt my left hand. I couldn't get it to stay in tune.
Okay.
So these guys in trench coats go, "Hey, what kind of guitar is that you're playing?" I said, "It's a Telecaster." And they barely got it out of their mouth. "We're from Gibson." And I just really lit into them. I said, "Hey, how is it that you're the greatest guitar company in the world and you cannot build a guitar that plays good and sounds like a Telecaster?"
Whoa.
And they said, "Well, okay."
Okay, all right.
we're going to be back in touch with you.
Okay.
Meanwhile, I went with Peavy, and Hollis Calvert was my artist relations man down there. And they sent me a guitar, and I really liked it. And I used it, fulfilled all my obligations. Now, a lot of guys would get guitars, and they'd just, you know, say, "I got another guitar," and they'd put it in the corner. But I had to play it on the Grand Ole Opry, and I had to do one or two TV shows with it.
Wow.
And all of the work at the Harmony House. So then Gibson calls and says, "Hey, look."
Gibson, okay.
"Yeah, hey, look, we're ready to build you a guitar." So that took about 6 months, and they built me a beautiful guitar. That's when they were in Kalamazoo, Michigan, before they started building guitars in Nashville.
Okay.
In fact, I played for the groundbreaking ceremonies for the Gibson plant in Nashville, along with the Wilburn brothers.
I hope you're writing all this down for a memoir one day.
And the funny thing is, you know, they moved everything out of that factory and went to Bozeman, Montana. And I went there for the auction that they had to auction everything off. So I was there on its first day and there on its last day. I've had a great career. The highlight, though, especially with my dad, the highlight, though, was when I got a call from Ted LaBar, who was the head of the music department at Tech.
Ooh, okay.
And he said, "Could you help us out up here? We've got some advanced guitar students." And I was covered up. I had a music school, three locations, and one of the students became a professor at Tech, and she couldn't handle all the students.
So
they called me to come in, and that was in August the 20th of 2001.
Okay.
And I remember that because it was about 2 weeks before the towers fell. I have loved every minute of it. My dad used to say things to me. I'd get him in backstage at the opera, and he'd say things to me like, "I don't know how you do it. Are you ever going to get a job, or are you just going to play music?"
A real job. Yeah.
So when I
remember those days.
When I got the job with Tech, he said, "Now listen. You take care of those people up there at that university. Do you hear me?"
I know. I get it. I had a dad like that.
Yeah. So anyway, I've loved it. Tennessee Tech has been so good to me.
What a great school.
I had a stroke in 06.
Okay.
And I went in. I had it on Tuesday. My wife drove me up here. I had students on Friday, and I went in to see Dr. LaBar, and I said, "Dr. LaBar, I've had a stroke. I don't know whether I don't know whether you want me to keep teaching or, you know, what." He said, "Well, we're going to leave that up to you."
Wow.
And I was crushed. I still get –
Yeah.
Tennessee Tech is just an absolute
– It's a joy.
It's a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful place to teach. It's a wonderful place to learn. It's a wonderful place to – express yourself. I mean, they do so many great things for the students. It's just, I'm so glad to be just a little part of it.
And it's a top
top technological university in the state. I'm sorry, the other ones, but people care, and we just have a – it's a genuine place. It's an authentic place.
Yeah, I had a student who was going to have to miss his last lessons of a semester, and I said, well, why? He said, well, I've got to go to Chattanooga and pick out a house. I said, you're going to get a house right out of school? And he went, yeah, I got a six-figure job with TVA.
Wow.
And I said, well, how'd you do that? He said, well, Tech has a job fair.
Yeah.
And I went over and signed up for the job fair and got the job, and my wife are moving down there in 3 weeks.
Wow.
So I've got to start working for them.
Some people don't realize how connected this university is to, you said, state, TVA, the engineers in TDOT, Tennessee Department of Transportation, that are Tech graduates in engineering. I mean, it is a top, and that's just the public sector. So it's great.
A former student, last night I just played for the president and the trustees, do a little jazz music in the corner. And one of my students helped me out.
We may have you on back here.
Jesse Holland, and he got his degree from Tech, and he now works in IT from out of his home.
Woo.
For the TVA.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the technological part of computers that – He's protecting the TVA and he's checking out if they have any crashes or anything, that he knows why, and he's just a terrific guy, and he's another example. He moved back here. He was from Colorado. He moved back here and lives here in town now, and just operates out of his house.
You'll hold that thought, my friend. Wow, we're coming back. There's things like Alan Jackson maybe next session. So George Hofford, Doc Stone, stay tuned. We're back, George Hofford, I'm learning. I knew he was somewhat of a legend, but a legend in our region. Grand Ole Opry, music, professor of guitar at Tennessee Tech, Doc Stone, and met you, Doc, years ago with a young guy, AJ Carter, a good young I called him a kid back then, but we'll get
terrific
into
– Terrific singer, yeah.
Great singer. And let's pick up where you left off. You have had a – and are having a career.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Starting young, your dad and the influence growing up and all the people. And now, then you came to Tennessee Tech. Is that where we left?
Oh, yeah.
Let's maybe start when you
first came
and just talk about what you've learned and seen and what you're doing now and just anything you want to tell us.
Well, when I came here, I couldn't believe that I'd actually become a college professor.
There you go.
I went,
that's big time stuff.
See, the people in Nashville, they kind of saw me, my colleagues, Jimmy Capps and Spider Wilson and Joe Edwards, Leon Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
They were all good friends, and they saw me as the educated player.
The educated player.
Capps came up to me one night and said, do you know Larry Coryell?
Yeah.
Didn't you go to school? Well, Larry Coryell was a terrific jazz guitarist, jazz fusion, that had a group called Weather Report.
Yeah.
And I said, no, but I did go to school at Western with his cousin, or his brother. It was his brother. But I get here at Tech, and they know me about the Grand Ole Opry. They kind of see me as the country guitar player here. You know, back in Nashville, I'm the educated guitar player here.
You're a chameleon. You can do whatever.
I'm the country guitar player. Coming here has just been – well, I would come from Dixon, Tennessee, one day a week.
Sure.
And then it got to be – okay, we're not going to use this program anymore, so, Doc, when this program's over, you won't need to. Well, the program was over, and I said, well, I'll see you guys. And Dr. Labar said, well, you're not trying to leave us, are you? He said that twice.
Yeah.
Then he said, well, you got some guitar majors, so you stay there. And then I had the last guitar major, and I said, well, I'll see you guys. And he goes, you're not trying to leave us, are you? Again. Tennessee Tech's been a great experience. What I've learned is that there is a balance between educated musicians and practical musicians. That's
sure.
I call them.
Yeah.
And it's the practical musicians that get work. When I was at Western Kentucky, we had to learn to hear intervals. That was our big deal. If you didn't pass your interval test, you didn't get your grade. You didn't make the course. Then I get to Nashville, and I've got to learn this crazy thing called the Nashville number system. And most people don't know anything about it. But the Nashville number system is how every record you've ever heard's been made.
No.
Yeah. You go in, you don't know what.
So you, if you came in, you had to learn.
Oh, and
that unique system. Is that?
Yeah, and it was very hard to do because we didn't have cassette players. We didn't have any. I think it was Buddy Emmons, the great steel player, was telling all the young guitarists and everybody, hey, look, if you really want to learn the number system, just chart what you hear on the radio. So I learned the system. You learn as you go, and then as you get better, you get better jobs and that. And I've tried to bring some of that here to Tech, and it's working.
We've got
a new program at Tech that I am just so excited about. It's a Bachelor of Science in Music.
Woo!
And
not a BA in music.
No,
but it's technology.
Yeah, it's a Bachelor of Science in Music, and the main course for that is live sound engineering.
Live sound engineering. Wow.
And I got my job in Nashville from playing on a TV show. Now, when I was at Western, I was studying cinematography, television production, kind of what you're doing, but not an engineer.
Not George.
Yeah. Do you remember the old Noon show that used to come out? The Noon show would come to Western, and they would – just let their crew wait, and the students would put the Noon show on.
Whoa!
It was one of the top mass media schools in the country, and so I jumped from the TV show into the music business and got into Nashville, and I see this business here of our new program of live sound engineering. And they've already got internships and everything set up with sound companies in Nashville.
Man.
You know how Tech is. They're going to be on the top end of it all.
You know, you said something a while ago, and I remember the engineering school years ago. They said with TVA and stuff, the reason that these companies and TVA and the state hires all these engineers is because it's practical. You said use the word a practical. In other words, these kids or young people are ready to go to work the day they graduate.
Exactly.
Whereas, in other more theoretical, no, that's the rap on the good rap on Tennessee Tech.
It sure is.
it's teaching you how to work in a given field from day one.
Well, I know of people that have been working on a crew somewhere, and the bass player gets sick. And they go, what are we going to do? And one of the guys on the sound crew, they've heard him fooling around playing the bass, and they say, can you fill in?
Oh, sure.
And then he ends up getting the job.
So we have a gold mine still. I mean, those of you in the music business know this. But what we've talked about, I want to come back to that sometime before we leave, or maybe another program, talking about the music scene, the incubator, how we can grow this business in an entertainment district, and we'll spend some time on that in a little while. But man, this is right here in our university, the Upper Cumberland, Tennessee Tech.
To me, it's the very best thing that's happened to the music school at Tech. I mean, in the 23 years I've been here.
It's going to a whole nother level.
Yeah, now I moved here because it would be one day, and then I'd have 2 days, and then got to be driving up here 3 days.
Then you're here.
And in 2015, we moved here because my wife, Janie, said, I think you'll last longer up there.
Yeah, same. Hey, we better thank you for saying that, because I'm going to save you a little bit. You talk about your wife and your family and Janie, because
Janie is – I can't say enough about Janie.
Partner.
Janie, I built my own guitar that I play. It's like a Stratocaster. Her picture, her wedding picture, is right here behind the tailpiece.
Oh, man.
And it's sealed under the finish. And I took it to the fella. I wanted it white pearl when I built it. And he saw the red rose in her hair, and he matched the color of the guitar to her red rose.
Oh, man. And I get chill bumps.
And he said, "You don't pay me anything. That's your wedding gift." So that's my soulmate guitar. That's her name.
Hallelujah, man.
And she's the best thing that ever happened to this old boy, I'll tell you that.
You know, if I'd learned that lesson a long time ago, I'd be a much happier individual. You know, the joy and the partnership we have there. And
it's
not us. It's not about us. It's about them and us together.
Mm-hmm.
How long is it? We just got a few seconds left. How long does it take to did it take you to build the kind of guitar you really wanted? I know it's probably that's not a finite question, but
well, I knew what parts I wanted from having two guitars that companies built for me, especially the Gibson guitar. Okay. I had to go into a lot of detail, so I knew what parts to get, what parts to buy.
That's a loaded question at the end. We're going to come back, pick up in the next segment. As you say, I'm having a big time, Doc, so thank you so much. Doc Stone, Tennessee Tech guitar professor and a leader in our music scene, not only in the country but the world.
Back soon.
Well, we're back. George Hofford with I've known Doc Stone for years, but what a true, my opinion, legend in music and guitar and Tennessee Tech, his latest guitar professor, been there for a while and has done a lot, still doing a lot of things other than that. So let's pick up where we left off and talk about Janie and the guitar at your wedding and all that. What a great story. Well, cut you off a while ago.
Well, I always wanted a Stratocaster, and I knew what parts I wanted on it. I've told people that if I'd ever seen a Telecaster before I went with Gibson, I never would have been a Gibson artist.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to put parts together that I liked,
sure,
particular bodies and particular necks, fingerboard, that kind of thing. And I got it all together, and the neck, I got it already finished like I wanted. And I had the body finished, but I had seen on one of the award shows this guy playing a guitar, and he had his wife's picture underneath the finish by the tailpiece, and I wanted to do that.
I got you.
So I took it to a friend of mine that's really good at spraying guitars and getting the right color and all that. And I wanted a pearl white, you know.
Sure.
Well, he loved the color red. His nickname was Red. And so when I gave him the picture, Janie's got a red rose in her hair, and he matched the red in her rose to the body of the guitar.
Oh.
So the body of the guitar matches the rose in her hair.
That's awesome.
And it's my primary instrument. I play it all the time. I played it last night. And the name of that guitar is Soulmate. I have it written on the headstock. And that's because she truly is my soulmate.
Wow.
She's seen me through a lot of bad health, like I said, with the stroke.
Yeah.
I had COVID in 2020.
You said you had a pretty severe case.
I was in the hospital 5 days and five nights and just barely stayed off the vent.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm fine now.
Yeah,
And every day's a little sweeter, you know.
Yeah. Gratitude, buddy. We get total we get. Just being grateful.
But she's the rock that I lean on.
Sure.
In fact, she programmed the GPS in the car to get me over here today.
Sounds like my wife.
She's a nurse. She is a front office coordinator for the wound care center here.
That's great.
In town. She's
so she's found a calling here, and you have a calling. Mm-hmm. So life's pretty good. Life is here. I mean, this is home. Yeah.
Yeah. We love Cookeville.
Yeah, we do too.
We love Putnam County. It's it's just so darn convenient.
Yeah.
You're 10 minutes away from wherever you want to go.
Yeah. It's just a joy.
It's a joy.
Those of us who have lived, for whatever reason, other places, I have done that in chamber work,
It's just there are other places in this country, but not many like this. It's just every day, even still, after 20 years, I go, wow. I'm in awe of this region, our state, Nashville, the local, everything. Mm-hmm. Sound like an old chamber guy, don't I?
I tell you, you really do.
No. But, and you sound like a great goodwill ambassador for tech, for the region, for the state, for country music.
I can't say enough about Tennessee Tech. I love everything that's going on about Tennessee Tech. I know some people complain about it being a pedestrian campus. But I'm telling you what, if you've been over there lately, it is absolutely beautiful.
Let me say, it's looking more like a true university.
Yes.
Isn't
it? Yes, it does.
And it's attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
It's landscaping. It's the soft stuff, isn't it? As well as the massive building.
Yeah. The new building, the terrarium of the new building, had a thing with the Regents last night. President Odom was there.
Oh.
And it is just absolutely beautiful.
Isn't it? Our best days, God willing, and of course the world and the country, but I'm talking about in our region, mm-hmm. is still to come.
Oh, yeah.
Yet to come.
This is another thing, too, is I feel like this is about the safest place in the world to live.
Yes.
I really do, you know.
I still feel safe, mm-hmm. in this day and time. My family and I, yes.
Yeah.
Can't say that about most places anymore.
No, you can't. I've got four kids. Okay. No. I've got to take that back. I've got two kids and four grandchildren, yeah.
Well, you got four kids.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a delight. Both of them are musicians.
Ooh, where do they live?
Well, one of them lives in Spring Hill, Tennessee. That's my son.
You're home.
And my daughter lives in Cullman, Alabama.
Sure, Cullman, sure.
Her husband is a recreation director.
Ooh.
There at Cullman.
You can get there from here. It's not like she's in L.A. Or...
No, we can get there from here. Of course, a little older, it gets a little farther.
I understand.
Especially if it rains.
Hey, I can relate 100% with you on that. You know, you share me off air, just for the audience, you really shared something, but just some of the major stars. You mentioned Alan Jackson. You mentioned the things you have done with these worldwide stars.
Well, one of the funniest things had to do with Reba McEntire and Dolly Parton.
Okay.
When you do the Opry, they have the whole list of who hosts the show and who's going to be on the show. And it's 15-minute segments, and they put commercials in there. And so this name came up, Reba McEntire, and we'd never heard of her.
Wow.
Didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
And Opry stars back then had a habit of just dropping in.
Okay.
They weren't scheduled. They'd just drop in.
Yeah.
Well, so Reba's first spot, it's her very first Opry spot, and she's on our show, our section of the show. And here comes Dolly. Dolly Parton's here. Oh, well, she's going on now.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So Grant Turner, I don't know if you remember Grant Turner. He was announcer on the Grand Ole Opry for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Grant Turner said, well, we've got a surprise guest here. And I was standing right offside. She came through here, and I was standing offside with my guitar strapped on. He said, here's Miss Dolly Parton. And she walked out and had on this black glitter outfit, and that spotlight hit her.
Boom.
And her feet went up in the air, and she fell down right there on the stage. And she got up and giggled. You know,
laughed. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Went to the microphone and said, I guess there must be a slick spot back there. So she did her song. Then we went to commercial. Well, we come out of commercial. It's time for Reba.
To follow Dolly Parton.
So,
think about that.
So, yeah.
To follow Dolly.
She sure did. the announcer said, okay, here's Reba McEntire. And two of the four guys had her in a fireman carry. You know how firemen – and carried her to the microphone so she wouldn't fall. And that crowd just went nuts. They went absolutely nuts. That's one of the funniest things that I experienced in the music business.
But it really is a family, isn't it? You said
– especially the Opry.
That's what I mean. The Opry and the history of of that. If people would drop in, it was a family. You just dropped in and you made room for them and they sang.
And I can't remember the song that Reba sung, and I can't remember Dolly's song, but I remember what happened. being with the four guys, their Harmony House is where they introduced Alabama to the country music industry.
Wow.
They did their showcase there.
Sure.
And we were always going back and forth. Well, I met a guy there named Marty Gamblin. Mm-hmm. And Marty was the head of Glenn Campbell's publishing company. Now, some of you young folks may not know who Glenn Campbell was.
By the time I get to Phoenix.
The Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour, it really took country music and put
to another level.
Yeah, it made it all over the country.
Mainstream.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly right. Yeah,
because growing up, country music was okay, but for a lot of us, it was the Beatles and rock. You know, it was a rock and roll. It was Elvis and some others. But
I get a call from Marty, and he goes, "Hey, you got room for another student?" He said, "I got a guy here that we've recorded an album on him, but he can't play the guitar. Could you teach him?" And I said, "Well, yeah, give me his number." So it was Alan.
Alan Jackson.
Alan Jackson.
You taught Alan Jackson to play the guitar.
I'm going to tell off some stories about him, too. He came in on his first lesson. I had to get him scheduled. He was selling cars on Nolensville Road, and he didn't like it. And he would come in every lesson on Friday of every lesson, and he'd just be complaining about his job and complaining about his job. Well, they gave me Alan's the record that they recorded on him. He gave it to me, and I did the number charts up and all for him and taught him the number system and had him play, and he just complained and complained and complained. And I said, "Listen, you're one of the best voices I've ever heard. If they get the business end of you right, you're another Hank Williams."
So you told him that back
on his very first lesson. I stopped playing. I said, "Man, what a voice you've got."
So get on with it, is what you're saying. I mean,
I said,
quit being so negative.
Why are you selling cars? That was... So I had another student named Brad Tapscott, and his mother was a nurse in Brentwood, and they had just started a new talent agency called Moreland House Music Group. And I said, I got to get them together. So I got Alan with his first agent, Moreland House Music Group.
Wow. And the rest is history, right?
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really
she did a good job getting him started. The look that he has now is what she gave him. He didn't look like that when he first started taking lessons from him.
How about that?
He's quite a guy, too. He's just what you
genuine.
See.
We've got some stories here about when he was sheriff, or when our sheriff with Alan Jack, but that we don't have time for that. But, yeah, he's just a good, regular guy.
He's just what he is.
Yeah.
A.J. Carter reminded me of him a whole lot.
Yeah, let's talk about A.J. We've got about a minute left. Just local artist.
He's just terrific. He's got a terrific country voice.
Yep.
And I told him the same thing. I said, if the business end of you's right, you're a star.
You're gonna do it.
And he had some people at Nashville Palace interested in him. We did a demo at Tone Slinger Studios. I'd like to see him be a little bit more country.
But he's still out there, and of course you've got.
He works at sometimes at Spanky's.
Yes, see him.
But he works a lot on the places that are on the.
And you've got so many others. We don't have time. Chris Raines, I could name Jeff Hoot, and on and on and on.
Lily Beth,
we're out of time. But buddy, I can just. I've had a great day.
I've had a terrific
great day
time.
To be alive.
And, yes, it is.
Thank you so much,
thank
Doc
you.
Stone. I can't describe you in just a few seconds. I'm so glad to see you again, George Hofford. Local Matters next time.